them yesterday and today, and again, I haven't gotten up, just got here to do this this report for you guys. But when the first thing that they asked for was an air mattress, a mattress, anything to sleep on, because they have nowhere to sleep, many people here. So this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're facing. And I hope that people, you know, remember the images that they saw in some cases during Katrina in Louisiana, or in any flooding incident that happens. The water, again, has receded, but those after effects that linger, you know, that's what we're facing now. And it's people not having a place to even sleep in many cases. And so I hope that people, you know, contribute, think about it, and help us take care of and assist in this problem.
John Melendez, Marilyn Mendoza, thank you very much. And you heard John on the ground working with Marilyn, who has been on the ground. They started since really Irma and continued through Maria. And what are they doing? They're helping their own communities because they have been left to their own abeyance. But that's where the resilience comes from, and that's where ultimately the strength of resistance comes from to build. So we are asking you, if you are concerned about your siblings in Puerto Rico, and I know you are, and we must be, because this is an anti-colonialist responsibility that we have to Puerto Rico. Our siblings on the island need us now, these community-based groups, to fund. We have a goal of $20,000. I'm asking you now to call 212-209-2950. We have just 1 hour left to make our goal of $20,000, 212-209-2950. And you're going to be pledging any amount that you can. But we are asking you to give as much as you can, as much as you can, for no better cause than to lift people above the tidal waves, because the storms have ripped the clothes off of colonialism's devastation, and we must rise to the occasion. So call 212-209-2950, and you're pledging for Puerto Rican Aid-thon. That's what we're calling it, Puerto Rican Aid. The operators are waiting to take your call. Puerto Rican Aid, any amount, but we are also asking those of you who can, for at least a $150 pledge, we will give you a special thank you gift. We will give you the African American and Latinx History of the United States, an 8-hour audiobook by Paul Ortiz. It is essential listening to. It really is. Ortiz challenges the notion of Westward progress, as exalted by widely taught formulations such as manifest destiny and Jacksonian democracy. And he shows how placing African American, Latinx, and indigenous voices unapologetically front and center transformed American history into the story of the working class organizing against imperialism. You will get the film Blackout in Puerto Rico, looking at the devastation of the hurricanes, but within the context of what? The duality, that terrible primordial conundrum of colonialism, which actually accentuates and makes the devastation that is created by natural disaster so much worse. And you will get Harvest of Empire, I think a fabulous film, the untold story of Latinos in America. And then the most important thing, and I know there are those of you who can do this, for a pledge of $1,000 or more. Goodness, Carlito Rivera is being gracious and generous enough, but he would say, no, I don't even want to hear that. That's what I do for my people. I'm going to paint for you an original painting of really the, shall we say, the spiritual poet, political laureate of the Puerto Rican people, of any people who are anti-colonialist and anti-imperialist, he's going to paint for you an original Pedro Albizu Campos, and that's for your contribution of $1,000 or more. We've got a long way to go to reach that $20,000, but I promise, and, you know, I told Carlito, there's no way we're not going to make that, because who are our listeners? Who are the listeners to Equal Rights and Justice? And by the way, I'm Mimi Rosenberg, in with Carlito Rivera. Who are our listeners? Well, they are revolutionaries. They are humanists. They are people of goodwill who fight the good fight against imperialism, who fight the good fight against the reality of the U.S. as a settler colonialist state. And that has everything to do with the kind of devastation that our siblings are facing on the island of Puerto Rico. There is no way that with the right infrastructure and consideration for the working class, for the people of Puerto Rico, that the storms that arise, even in their worsened form due to climate change in the Caribbean basin and throughout the world, would not be better. But for the neglect, the deliberate neglect of the people and the vampirish behavior of the Wall Street, the plutocracy that has been ripping off the island with the consent of its governorship, with its government. So we're trying to go directly, soul to soul, right to the people. And that's where your money will go. $20,000 our goal. Again, before we get to our next guest who's been anxiously waiting, 212-209-2950. Ask for Puerto Rican Aid-Thon. Just tell the operators we're pledging for Puerto Rican Aid-Thon for the program that is on now, which is Equal Rights and Justice, 212-209-2950. Any amount that you can give is appreciated, indeed respected tremendously. $150 or more pledge will get you the films and the 8-hour audio book. Excellent, excellent primers to educate, agitate, and organize people against colonialism and imperialism. And then the $1,000, if I wasn't going to take it away from others, this Carlito Rivera is such a fine artist, and to have there a kind of premier work of Pedro Albizu Campos, which will be painted just for you, for your pledge of $1,000 or more. Hey, what more could you ask for? What more could you ask for other than the knowledge that you have given of yourself to a people that are in struggle, that are agitating, and they're educating, and they're organizing to survive and to lift themselves above the colonialist structure and for self-determination. And for those people, mattresses, elementary things to live, they were drowned out. They were flooded out. 212-209-2950. And we have on the line now our next guest. And this was considerable effort to line these folks up. And I know he is a particularly good friend of yours, Angel. But he says, don't use that name. It is Angel Cardona. It's Apote Cardona, who is on the ground in Puerto Rico and has been there many, many times doing disaster relief. And he's going to tell us where he is and what's going on. And you want to give him a special welcome, Carlito?
What's up, Papi?
Good morning, people.
So you've been waiting patiently, and I know you've come from the what you call your exile in the U.S., in the boogie-down Bronx to Puerto Rico. And I know you actually came initially to celebrate, commemorate Grito de Lares, and maybe you can give us a short sense of what that is, because I think it says something about what the struggle is about, and then tell us about the conditions that you're working around. And I should say that our brother also works with Mi Patria.
Yes, I'm here for my umpteenth time in Puerto Rico to try to do my small grain to help the people. I've come here in different capacities. We did different kinds of disaster relief, whether it was like food allocation or water filtration and carpentry. And right now, where we came was our intent on this trip to Puerto Rico was to celebrate El Grito de Lares. El Grito de Lares, for people that don't know, is like the Puerto Rican Independence Day. Although we didn't actually gain independence, the efforts and the struggles for independence is something that's within our historical appreciation. So it's the birth of our identity, actually. And this happened in 1868, led by a gentleman by the name of Ramon Emeterio Betanzas. So I was here to join my fellows to do a commemoration in San Juan. And then on this weekend, actually tomorrow, we were going to do at the town of Lares our yearly commemorations and, you know, celebrations of our Independence Day. So when we made our planning for this weekend, we didn't anticipate the storm, right? But we knew it was coming. But we didn't want to cancel our flights because I was already on my way to serve as a volunteer for Mi Patria to help an old war veteran rebuild his home. Unfortunately, the storm hit. But fortunately, I had a bag of tools in which where Raymond Collazo has reallocated our services to disaster relief. Right now, Raymond has staging areas in different locations in Puerto Rico, one being where I'm at right now in a town called Isabela, where we're serving a hydroponics farming facility, which serves the community at different capacities, but the most important capacity is like a self-sustaining or soup kitchen or helping the poor type of, you know, giving. And he felt that it was important to get this operation going again because this operation serves the community in that capacity. So we're here just rebuilding everything that was destroyed. He also has another effort happening right now in a town called Añasco. Añasco is a town which is north, and it's surrounded by water. So on one side you have the ocean, and you have a very big river that goes through it. And they suffered such heavy flooding that even us the other day, we was doing what we call wellness checks. Because, you know, that's how you start to see how, you know, if the people are all right, what they need. And we were doing that. And we ourselves got trapped in the flooding because all the roads were topped off. Lucky, you know, with an hour of going back and forth, we were able to get out of there. So yesterday's effort was a big water giveaway, provisions giveaway, and they were doing assessments. While they were doing assessments, you know, the biggest thing that they need right now, the biggest need, I would say, is to get people like mattresses. Over 100 people slept on the floor yesterday night, and it's heart wrenching because, you know, they're human. They don't expect these things, and forgive me, but it's hard to imagine, you know, living under those circumstances. So we have other groups in New York that are helping us out. El Maestro's Boxing Gym is serving at they're located at 1300 Southern Boulevard in the Bronx. They're serving at the staging area to make these collections. They have other areas in Brooklyn, which I can get Calito the information for, but Añasco is a really heavily hit zone for flooding. I didn't get to search the whole island. I can't give you a whole assessment because I've been concentrating on the areas that they put me to do my work in. But we did have other people, like a gentleman named Amica, that went down to the south area, which was even more devastatingly hit than the north that we're serving at this moment. And, you know, what he says is that there's a lot of road closures, a lot of landslides, there's a lot of plants, you know, obstruction debris on the infrastructure, the roads, the cables. You know, the island is in need of volunteers as far as linesmen are concerned. There's a shortage of linesmen because the company Luma that took over, you know, Calico could articulate how they took over better than me. You know, there was an election and they gave it all to an American company that belongs to these colonial, like, you know, people from Wall Street, like you said. And they, because of a labor dispute, got rid of a lot of their linesmen and replaced them with electricians. And linesmen is very specific part of electrical work. They are like a specialty work. And he reallocated these people that they're working as municipality workers. Why? Because he didn't want to pay them their wage increase. And that's a form of how colonialism and imperialism hurts us, because now we got our best minds doing layman tasks, and then we have other people that are not specialists doing these specialty work. Okay? So now let me get back to the. Oh, sorry.
Well, let me ask you this, as time is racing ahead, and we thank you for the work that you do and for spending time with us. And it has not been easy, as I said, because of the infrastructure collapse and so on. It's been very difficult to get people who are working in life and death situations to spend time with us and to be able to power up their cell phones and so on. So, Papote, Cardona, we thank you so much. I think that we only have time this moment to tell people why our listeners who are listening should commit to pledging dollars through BAI to get to people who are doing work on the ground. Why should people support the effort that is as a result of this terrible, most recent flooding event?
Well, if you could can I allow the director for Mi Patria to answer that question? His name is Raymond Goyasso, and we had spoken about him yesterday. You mind if he closes for me?
Sure. Okay.
Introducing Raymond Goyasso, director of Mi Patria, a great young guy, a big brother. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
And thank you for the work that you are doing. And I know that I have some advanced knowledge that you actually moved back to the island and have committed really your life to doing reconstruction and work on the ground with the people, disaster relief work. And we commend you for that. So tell our listeners, while we do have limited time, we do want to hear from you, but tell our listeners why they should see supporting our effort to raise capital, to raise funds and so on for the folks who are working on the ground in Puerto Rico.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome, and thank you for allowing me to speak on behalf of Mi Patria, Puerto Rico. I did move back out here in 2019 after Hurricane Maria, and why we're doing this is to just serve our people, so we're not dependent on anybody, and we rebuilt our communities within ourselves, and we built leaders within each community so that when disaster strikes again, we're prepared. We're educating our people. We're not being stingy with the resources. We're an open network and transparent. So we're all about open heart, open minds, and just doing our best to serve to the fullest capacity, no matter creed, color, race, ethnicity. Estamos aquí en Puerto Rico para servir lo de Puerto Rico en el futuro, en el presente, y hasta que podamos para las generaciones del futuro. And if we continue to educate and empower, we won't have a Puerto Rico that has to be under these circumstances. We'll have a new Puerto Rico with full of new energy and the independence of energy, self-sufficient, just being able to respond to the call within ourselves as communities and leaders. And just that's what it is that we believe in. And in Mi Patria, Puerto Rico, that's why we believe in empowering the communities through the veterans that have served as well. So as Papote had mentioned, he came here to serve, and we're doing so. We came here to build a home together, and now we're building communities together as opposed to that. And we're going to continue to move forward strong, and we're not going to let this stop us. This is just continuing to help us be resilient and more resilient and learn to depend amongst ourselves and empower our communities instead of depending on anybody else.
Hermano, this is Carlitos Rovira. As a fellow Boricua, you make me very proud because you are demonstrating the resilience of our people and a glimpse that we will succeed in achieving our right to self-determination.
Raymond Caloso, Papote, well, yeah, yes, Cardona. I feel the same way. I am, tremendous pride at people who commit to equal rights and justice. And as we heard at the opening of Equal Rights and Justice, the name of this program, you can't have and you won't have peace without equal rights and justice. And it is people like you that are bringing that and committed to and are the true humanists. And we need to support the work that you're doing. So we'll hear from you in the weeks to come and get a better sense of the specific, the hydroponic gardening and all the incredible projects that are being worked on, food sovereignty issues and road clearing and buildings, affected by obstacles that need to be cleared. Tremendous. Raymond Colazo. Ah, I'm being instructed here as well. I should be. Colazo, Papote, Cardona, gracias por todo. And we want you all. We want you all to call 212-209-2950 while we are waiting for our next guest who's actually holding on, who's going to inspire you as well to see the resilience of the people, what they're doing on the ground to support our comrades in our compañeros in Puerto Rico. Call 212-209-2950. We're trying to bring you as many reports as we can, but this is your chance. Indeed, it's imperative that you step up to the plate and call 212-209-2950. I'm not talking through my hat when I'm saying $20,000. $20,000 is everything, everything to the survival and the resilience and the continued work of the people that we have been talking to on the ground in Puerto Rico and the organizations they've built for self-reliance in the midst of a colonialist situation. And while they fight for self-determination, they must sustain themselves because the corruption of government and colonialism and the Wall Street vultures that keep that government going, they're not doing it. They're not doing it. We need to. That's who we are. That's why a station like WBAI exists, because we're activist radio. We rise to the occasion to support people in struggle. And so you need a call, 212-209-2950. And again, I will tell you before we are joined by Yari Taina Rodriguez Benitez, I want to tell you that for a $1,000 or more pledge, you will get the painting, the original painting of Pedro Albizu Campos by Puerto Rican artist Carlito Rivera. That's his contribution, amongst many others, to raising funds for this program, for Puerto Rico, for the groups on the ground, like Yaris and so on. And for 1,000 or more, you will get this original painting of Pedro Albizu Campos. For $150 or more, which is what we urge, you will get the 8-hour audiobook, An African American and Latinx History of the United States by Paul Ortiz, as a thank you gift. And you will get the two films, Harvest of Empire, The Untold Story of Latinos in America, and Blackout in Puerto Rico, about the hurricanes and the aftermath. All for you, and whatever you can give, give now. And we are joined, but not before I tell you that number again, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Ask for, lest you be confused, Puerto Rican Aid-Thon. Just say, I'm calling to give money to donate for the Puerto Rican Aid-Thon, the Puerto Rican Relief Fund. However you want to say that, the engineers are standing by waiting for you to call. And we are joined by Yari Taina Rodriguez Benitez, a virtual poetic expression as a name. She is a community organizer and director of Conoco Campesino, I think Canolco, correct me if I'm wrong, is the indigenous word really referencing a community food gardens and service. In any event, you'll tell us more. Yari, thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Mimi. Thank you.
Saludos, hermana.
For having this space for us. Saludos. Buen día.
So talk about the work you do, which is fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic, inspiring. It really is a kind of model, a microcosm of the world that we should be living in and how to get there. So do tell us about it. And I know that there's a great deal of work explicitly with women around the issues of solar power and so much more.
Yes. Well, in Conuco Campesino, we do work with food sovereignty, environmental issues, also community organizing around resiliency. And so we're very much engaged with access to clean water. In the community where I reside in Mayagüez, there is power outage happening almost on a weekly basis since the Hurricane Maria, and sometimes we're out of power for 2, 3, 4 days at a time. And when there's no power, there's also no water because of the way that the system works, where the water pumps work on electricity. So there's a lot of, community organizing around those issues and also health. So there's a lot of areas that we do cover in terms of the solar work that I do personally. I've been doing it with Bosque Modelo, where they have one of their missions is to develop skills, have women be able to develop skills and open opportunities in the industry, in different industries, including solar, to be able to have work opportunities, but also in a way that expands our ability to survive in these circumstances. So right now we are working in response to the hurricane directly with the with different communities in Cabo Rojo, Mayagüez, San Germán. And I'm a little bit shooken right now because I woke up this morning to the news that the disaster declaration has been made, but our region has not been included in it. So the area where the hurricane, the center of the hurricane passed over, is not included in the declaration, in the emergency or disaster declaration, rather. So that has me a little bit, or very anxious, actually, this morning. But we have been working on the ground with people that their houses have been flooded, rooftops have been lost. And this is in addition to people that some of them never even got to repair their homes after Hurricane Maria, right? The assistance never came, or the resources never came for them to be able to be prepared 5 years later for another hurricane, which wasn't supposed to be this major.
Yari, I want to ask, how do you understand the collapsing infrastructure? I mean, we spoke a bit offline, and there was a righteous anger that these things, that the government not providing for these services and not anticipating tropical storms and the like, which devastate people. I mean, 60% no running water, the consequences of that, 5 years of a collapsing infrastructure. How do you understand why that's happening and what the overall politics on the island are? Because that's something we have to look at and understand as well.
Yes, well, thank you for asking that. I think that this is what angers me the most, and probably the majority of the people here, is that we see how this is intentional, how this is by design. Once again, you have another disaster where you don't see government agencies responding. It's once again the people coming together, organizing, and with a lot of practice for the last 5 years. It does seem very apparent that it is a politics involved around the idea of displacing us, massively displacing us, forcing us to leave the island. and really not allowing us to have the conditions to be able to survive and to be able to live a life with dignity, right?
Hermana, this is Carlito Rovira. You mentioned how the disaster declaration did not include a region that's most devastated. How does the government explain that?
I just found out this morning, and I don't know what is being said about it. I know that groups and communities are enraged by it. But I don't know yet what the government response is going to be. But definitely it has to change and they have to include us. They have to include it. It just makes no sense it seems random to have these exactly the western region, south all the way towards the north is not included in the declaration.
And Yari Taina Rodriguez Benitez, you also are part of an international movement which encompasses women and economics. And while it's devastating and angering, and you should see the look on Carlito's face when you said that, mine as well, but even more aggressively so on Carlito's face when you said that your area was not included in the disaster plan. So tell us a little bit more about how you continue to move ahead, the services that you provide, particularly for women. And then, of course, this should be understood is that we want to make Yari Taina Rodriguez Benitez's group, Conoco Campesino, one of the groups that we are raising money for this morning. We can in some ways compensate for the lack of funds that should be given to them, but only in the sense that we continue to build with those funds the resistance, the self-determination and independence, really, of the folks while they are struggling on the island for what they righteously deserve, which is really power of the state. So tell us about bunch more about what your project's doing, and while we continue to urge people to call 212-209-2950 and to support for our Puerto Rico Aid-Thon, pledge to that so we can get resources where they need to be on the ground with groups like Conoco Campesino. Yari?
Yes, well, we've been definitely responding to the very specific needs of families in different areas. So that has been everything from cleaning houses, taking water out, taking mud out, finding medical appliances, power plants, food, water, all of that, delivering what is needed at the moment for it to guarantee the survival of that family and to guarantee that they can recover from that emergency state, right? But truly, we in Conoco Campesino and other organizations that we also work with, we have been talking about the need to really develop a work plan that is more long term, and so that's why food sovereignty is very important, that farmers have access to land, that farmers have access to the right tools to feed, that people have access to be, whatever they need to repair their homes, and energy, right, solar energy for homes. I believe that every home, and that's one of the things that Conoco would like to start focusing on, and I've been having conversations with some folks about it, having solar in every roof of every residential house or home or property in the island is already impending. It's something that has to happen. We cannot depend anymore on the government and the services that they're not providing, and they haven't been providing, right? They haven't been using the money that they received for recovery for the Hurricane Maria 5 years ago, and here we are today once again, and it almost feels And I apologize because I feel right now like I'm rambling a little bit because I am anxious today and I am a little bit off today with this news. But it just feels like we're in a loop. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sort of breaking down right
it's
now.
It's okay, sister. Like it's okay, Mana. It's
you,
okay.
You were being clear.
Like we stopped in time and Hurricane Maria passed and time has not passed. And it's just like we don't. We're still stuck on this, like, loop of never-ending crises and power outages and lack of food and lack of water and lack of just the essentials, which is not, you know, it's not humane.
Mm. I do want you to fight through, which you always do. I know that. And I know you fight through that pain and you fight through the outrageous slings and arrows of government against the people to build this remarkable effort. And you've been doing it for quite some time. And I want you to continue to inspire us to be able to support your effort. And we will be the critics of the government for sure, along with you. You are our leaders. But give us a little bit of more of a sense of how phenomenal the work that you have been doing in building that self-reliance and the energy work where you're a solar installer yourself with considerable skills. And you also teach women about solar installation and very often are working with a single head of household women. So give us more of a sense of that marvelous, inspirational, necessary work that you do as we continue to fight off the vestiges of, or not the vestiges, but the government of colonialism.
Yeah, so that work I do with Bosque Modelo of Puerto Rico, and I am a result of that program myself. I was the recipient of the training the first year. We've been 4 years running the program. The following years, the second and the third year, I've been also assisting in the instruction of solar installation, and that is directed specifically to women who live in the area that is part of the Bosque Modelo. And Bosque means forest, so it's a model forest. And we have been really opening doors for women to be able to integrate into that industry, which is very male predominant, and it's been taking some time, but it is happening, and the environment is becoming more and more welcoming to the women that we have been training. And this year we have been focusing more on maintenance. So we opened, we started with solar responders who have been also on the island installing on fire stations and some clinics, solar systems. And we have this year are working on providing maintenance with the women to these systems that are already in place. The systems that we have been installing as part of the class throughout the years have all been to organizations or community organizations or community groups that, like everybody else, are in need and have these spaces that can be and have been resiliency spaces. And so we've been able to provide, as part of the practice for the women in the course, solar installations in these areas as well.
Yari Taina Rodriguez Benitez, we've reached you at a very painful moment when you have just heard that a sorely affected area from the Fiona, the hurricane, which people have not recovered from Maria. And they hadn't recovered from Irma when Maria hit. And so one on top of the other, on top of the other. And you just found out that you're not included in such a gravely affected area in the disaster relief funds. So,
and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's also an area that was affected by the earthquake.
Ah, absolutely.
So that hasn't recovered from the earthquake either.
So what does it mean now, at least, for whatever we, our listeners, can do to partner with an organization like yours and to get you much-needed funds? What would you do with that? What does it mean to your organization to at least have the support from your siblings on the mainland?
Well, we've been working closely with farmers, and it is our intention to continue doing so. We mainly do brigades, and I also teach farming because I also used to farm, one of the many things that I've done. And so I would definitely, that's something that our organization is committed to continue doing. And also, among other things, we also have a mission to continue to expand access to solar infrastructure for residentials.
Hermana, this is Carlito. Where do you think the population in Puerto Rico is heading with this? You know, because we know the neglect is there, but what do you see as the in the horizon, the response of the Puerto Rican masses as part of the general resistance?
I don't have a clear response, honestly, because I think that it's bubbling and it's somehow there's going to be a reaction. I don't know how that's going to happen or when. I don't think that it's going to necessarily be an organized effort. It might be something more spontaneous because that's where we're at this moment. But I can say that the pressures are there and that the circumstances are definitely there. And I don't know how much longer it's going to take until something does, some sort of massive reaction has happened or will happen.
Well, I think you have the strongest reaction of all, which is the work that you're doing on the ground. And that is the resilience and that is the compassion and humanity of sibling to sibling, sister to sister, brother to brother, sibling to sibling work for people to survive as we all work to the long-range goal of creating a society that operates in the interests of the people who actually do all the work and create all the wealth. We're going to get back to
Something that I wanted to say in terms of survival is precisely that I think that we are tired of living in survival mode. And yes, all the work that we are doing is because we see the threat to our very own survival as the people, our culture, our way of living is very much threatened every single day. We see how property prices are going up, how there's less and less resources available for us, that we no longer can rent a home or don't even think about buying a home because the Airbnbs are taking over our local real estate, and also land is not available for farm. Now they're developing and speculating with tourist projects around the island. So I think that we're really tired of thinking about survival, and we want to think about living with dignity at this point.
Yari Taina Rodriguez Benitez, director of Conoco Campesino. In the weeks to come, we'll be back. We'll talk to you more. We're urging our listeners to really call in and support this organization, 212-209-2950. Support and ask for Puerto Rican Aid Fund from a $1,000 contribution up to whatever you can make, whether there is thank you gifts or not. And there are. This is too important. This is our time to step up to the plate, as Yari has. And we thank her, and we are moving quickly because we only have a couple of moments to another one of our stellar activists on the island, Arturo Mazo Daya, who is the associate director of Casa Pueblo de Adjuntas, and welcome. And I think you heard a little bit of what Yari was saying, which was very painful. Their organization and area has not been considered for disaster relief. Toto, tell us what's happening with your area and your organization, which has been around for decades now and is doing major work. As a matter of fact, I've heard it referred to as the kind of fireflies of the island, because you folks do maintain and are focusing on the maintenance of not electrical power, solar power, using the sun. So in the time that we have left, tell us about your organization, and thank you for the resilience, the energy, and joining us.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation and the opportunity to share what we're going through in Adjuntas, in the coffee plantation area. I mean, basic utilities from the central utilities are not there, so water, electrical power is not there. There's a lot of people uncommunicated because of the landslides and the impact on roads. In Casa Pueblo, we have been running with solar power since 1999, and right after Hurricane Maria, we were ready, as we were with Hurricane Fiona. We kept our services. We opened Casa Pueblo right away. We have the radio station. Right now, there's a movie being shown for kids in Adjuntas in our solar cinema, because we have been pushing for energy generation at the point of consumption. And now, at least, within this crisis, there's a bunch of houses that are running with solar power like Casa Pueblo, because we have helped them. Especially people with medical conditions. We have energized critical infrastructure like the fire station, the transmission tower of Radio Casa Pueblo, the elementary school. We have helped like businesses to keep running even if there's no power from the central utility. I mean, we are building energy self-sufficiency for the town. And after Fiona, what we see is that pathway for change is validated. This is the right way to go. To yield energy at the point of consumption helps a lot to rebound after disasters or events like Hurricane Fiona. So that's what Casa Pueblo has been doing. We are managing forests. We have a radio station. We have educational programs, a music school, a art gallery. We have a choir. We do a lot of things on a daily basis, and now we are using those tools and networks to serve our community in a different way. In addition, we have satellite internet to bypass communication limitations, and we had 2,000 solar lamps in stock. It's not that we wanted to use them, but they're needed right now, and we are distributing solar lamps to the people to help them light their life at night with clean energy, and also as a way to educate people on how to use solar power. So that's, in general, we have suffered the consequences of Hurricane Fiona, all the water, but the storm is gone. I mean, it is shiny right now. Puerto Rico is beautiful. It is the aftermath. And the aftermath is that the government have not done their part for climate adaptation, but Casa Pueblo has been pushing for that. And we are not safe, let's say, but we are now better prepared than before.
So you see, this is kind of a regenerative project, if you will, in contrast to the neoliberal colonial policies in Puerto Rico, which seek to eliminate public services and infrastructure and promise and compromise on natural resources. So is that the way you kind of view Casa Pueblo's work? And I know that you had worked around the Vieques and so many environmental-based issues for decades now.
Well, in the case of Casa Pueblo, everything we do is to break the model of dependency, to build self-sufficiencies for local self-determination,
for a process to facilitate and mediate a process of self-decolonization. That's what we're doing in Casa Puebla, and energy is a basic element to achieve that goal. In the case of what you see with the government, they are privatizing these utilities, which for the business of a few, to perpetuate the centralized energy generation based on fossil fuels. And what we are doing is democratizing energy generation at the point of consumption, in which the means to produce power, instead of using natural gas or bunkers, we're using solar power, and the infrastructure is being transferred to the people as a way for economic activation, as a way to deal with poverty, as people are producing their own energy to satisfy their own needs. That's what we're doing, is building levels of freedom, of practical freedom for the people and the community, creating an alternative present that can be replicated in other municipalities of Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico should be, regardless of the political destiny, we should be engaged in building energy independence for the island. This is what we should be doing, but what we see from all the allocation of money that is being transferred to Puerto Rico is for the same centralized system, for the LUMA, for the central power plant, instead of investing directly with the people and building a better and more resilient and resistant energy system for the island.
Well, I wish we had more time, but we've got some work to do now to make sure that we do some fundraising for Puerto Rico Aid-Thon. Definitely want to have you back, and thanks for the introduction to our dear brother, David Galarza, who introduced me to you and the incredible and important work that Casa Pueblo is doing. And we should say it's a full purpose organization, from having worked around the release of Oscar Lopez Rivera to, as I said, working around the issues of Vieques, fighting the pipelines. It is a really critical model of organization. And we can't thank you and tell you enough to stay strong. And I hope you'll come back and speak to us more about Casa Pueblo.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. We're going to be doing a quick stop next Wednesday in New York. So we're going to be sharing how that's going to happen, but we're going to be exchanging with the diaspora. We have to keep building the alternative and confronting the same model of colonialism in Puerto Rico. So thank you again for the opportunity.
We will certainly be there, and we will get that information to our listeners. That's really good to know. So stay safe, stay strong. We've been speaking with Arturo Mozel de Ya, Associate Director of Casa Pueblo de Adjuntas, and we have some serious work, and we only have a couple of minutes to do it. Do you think we can do it, Carlito? Can we raise another $10,000 in 5 minutes?
We have a lot of love out here. We have a lot of love and a sense of moral obligation. And for those who are angry, you should be. You should be angry that the storm, hit, but more importantly, you should be angry because it took down the mask of U.S. colonialism in Puerto Rico, because that's the bottom line of the suffering. You know, the oppressors in Puerto Rico have weaponized our reality and have weaponized the storm against us.
We're going to kill those cell phones in the background, but we have people calling in now and asking, how can I pledge? So I'm going to tell you how you can pledge. You can call 212 212- 209-2950. As a matter of fact, you must. Somebody says, oh, there's no way you're going to raise $10,000 in 5 minutes. Oh, yes, we can, because we do have a lot of love, because we have anti-colonialists and anti-imperialists who are listening there, and we have people who are nationalists and appreciate revolutionary nationalism, which is what the independence movement is, and all the groups that we have spoken to, and all the people, from Senator Rafael Bernabe to, folks who went from the boogie down Bronx, as Papito would say, to help out and do disaster reliefs, to the organizations and people like Yari, who had to call and speak with us and cry on the phone as they just found out their devastated area and the work they do has been overlooked and they're not going to get any disaster relief. We have to step up. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. And you're going to be telling the operators who are waiting for you to call. They have a whole lineup there now taking those calls, and they are coming in. Wow, you're rising to the occasion. Let's do it. Whoa, 4 minutes less. I know, I can see that look of, oh, wait a minute, you're going to bleed into the next time. Hey, we're going to push the limit here, or we're going to try to make that $10,000 additional before the 11 o'clock hour. We're asking you if you're concerned about the storms that have ripped the clothes off colonialism's devastation in Puerto Rico to call 212-209-2950. Pledge what you can for the Puerto Rican Aid-Thon. Ask for the Puerto Rican Relief Fund or the Puerto Rican Aid Fund and tell them you want to make a pledge. Over $1,000, $1,000 or more, you will get. Thank you to our really gracious, fabulous Puerto Rican artist. You will get an original painting from Carlito Rivera of Pedro Albizu Campos. Wow. It's priceless. It's priceless. But for over $1,000, and you can decide what that will be, we'll be glad to give that to you lovingly. And for $150 pledges, you will get as a thank you gift the films, The Harvest of Empire, The Untold Story of Latinos in America, a tremendous, important piece of cinematography. And you will get Blackout in Puerto Rico, the film that really talks about all this devastation and the devastation essentially of the infrastructure. And you will get the marvelous An African American and Latinx History of the United States by Paul Ortiz. And you will, we can work to free our own mind of colonialism with these things. And then you can make whatever pledge you want. Oh, wow, less than 2 minutes. Yep, I the calls are coming in. They're coming in. I hope they're up to whether it is 200 people pledging $10, that's fine, or whether it's one person pledging $1,000 or over, or whether it's a group of people pledging $150 and getting our thank you gift along with it. This is the time, 212-209-2950. I've got to say that number again, 212-209-2950. What is it for? It's for groups on the ground to continue to do the work to build a regenerated, resilient Puerto Rico, to continue their struggles for self-determination. 212-209-2950. Ask for Puerto Rican Aid-Thon. I've got 10 more seconds. I'll pull in Amy Goodman here. I'll ask a global question and get it answered in 10 seconds. What are you doing to support Puerto Rico? I know what you're doing. You're calling in the 10 seconds we have. You're calling 212-209-2950 and asking for Puerto Rico relief, Puerto Rico Aid-Thon. Pledge what you can, pledge what you will. Give generously to aid the struggle against colonialism and the effects of the hurricane, both of which joined together and have ripped the clothes off of colonialism. The storm certainly have, and its devastation. Okay, I'm Mimi Rosenberg with
Carlito Rovira.
And we are saying, stay strong, stay well, support WBAI, support the Puerto Rican struggle, and pledge now, 212-209-2950 for equal rights and justice.
Que viva Puerto Rico libre.
Ah, indeed. Thank you for listening.
Marcia Pendleton, producer and host of Backstage Stories on WBAI New York. We are thrilled to welcome Harriet D. Foy from the hit star show P-Valley and award-winning artist Germano Toussaint to the program. We'll talk about their careers and their musical collaboration and its first single, La-Di-Da. Don't miss this conversation with these multi-hyphenate powerhouses on Thursday, September 22nd at 9 p.m. on the next Backstage Stories.
My conversation with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Maria Hinojosa this Friday, September 23rd at 3 p.m. I'm Johanna Fernandez, and I'll talk to Maria Hinojosa about the adaptation for young readers of her memoir, Once I Was You, Finding My Voice and Passing the Mic. Maria Hinojosa is host of Latino USA, distributed by NPR for 27 years, and by PRX since 2020. On the occasion of Latino History Month, I'll talk to her about Latino culture and politics. And